Here's my plan. Here's what I want to do. I'm calling this JMAC show prep. And what I want to do is bring you into my process. And so here's what I thought I would do. And I'm planning on doing this on a regular basis. I go through so many news feeds every day, and I also flag a bunch of stories for the day. And I thought, you know, it might be kind of cool if we went through these together and I got your first blush response. And so I flagged a bunch of stories from the weekend, and I haven't read them yet. So I'm going to read them with you and get your comments on them. And then we can go through my news feed together, and we can see if there's anything in there that jumps out to you. We can also do this freeform if there's a story you've seen over the weekend or this morning that you want me to look into, that you want to read about together. We can do that as well. So I'm just inviting you into the process just to see what happens. So again, I'm calling this JMAC show prep, and I hope to be able to send it out to my my Podbean listeners as well. Let's see. Chris says, good morning, Jay. Apparently your system likes nights more than mornings. I don't function well in the morning either. I know, Chris. I'm sorry. I'm surprised you're up. Brad says, for me, your video is frozen, but audio is great now. Chris says, video and audio are both good. Brad says, restarted Facebook and now video and audio are good. Okay. All right. So let's just do this. Let's just see where it goes. I thought, you know, let's just see if this works. So what I want to do is I'll bring you up to my news feed here. This is a system I use. It's called Feedly. And these are some of the stories that I have flagged to talk about today. So let's just dive into these. And I'd love your comments. And again, if there's a story that you haven't read or that you want me to talk about, I'll be glad to do it. Let me adjust my picture here a little bit. All right. Okay. So a couple of things that stood out to me. All right. This one I saw from ABC News. And it looks like we're going to have to go to the website, which we can do. Okay. Wisconsin audit finds elections are safe and secure. So yet another election audit. This is Madison, Wisconsin. A highly anticipated nonpartisan audit of the 2020 presidential election in Wisconsin, released on Friday, did not identify any widespread fraud. The weirdest thing is happening today. I don't know if you, I'm sure you can see it. My camera is moving back and forth, but it's a software issue because my physical camera is not moving anywhere. I don't get it. What is going on? This is TV Combe on Twitch. Hello, good morning. Welcome into the stream. Let's see. Okay, so this is a highly anticipated nonpartisan audit of the 2020 presidential election, released on Friday. And it did not find any evidence of widespread fraud, which a key Republican legislative leader shows its elections are safe and secure. The report from the nonpartisan Legislative Audit Bureau did make dozens of recommendations on how the state might improve its elections. It also determined that dozens of voting machines it reviewed worked correctly. Some conservatives have called for reviews of all voting machines. Despite concerns with statewide election procedures, this audit showed us that the election was largely safe and secure. That was a tweet from Republican State Senator Robert Coles, who co-chairs the legislature's audit committee, which assigned the Audit Bureau to conduct the review. He says, it's my hope that we can now look at election law changes and agency accountability measures in a bipartisan manner based on these nonpartisan recommendations. So I found this to be very interesting. You've heard me. I like audits. I am happy when they do audits. I don't like spending the tax dollars when you're doing audits based on zero evidence. I have a problem with that, but with each new audit, we should get a clearer picture of what is going on, right? And so once again, another audit and more clarity about whether or not election fraud, widespread election fraud, actually occurred. And the answer is no, it did not. So far, anyway. The audit didn't offer any evidence that the election won by President Joe Biden was stolen from Donald Trump, as Trump and some fellow conservatives have falsely claimed. Biden's roughly 21,000 vote win over Trump in Wisconsin has withstood recounts and multiple court rulings. Democrats hailed the audit as evidence that elections are safe, secure, and accurate, but said they feared Republicans would cherry-pick the findings to sow distrust. The Audit Bureau report did identify inconsistent administration of election law based on surveys of ballots it reviewed across the state. It made 30 recommendations for the Wisconsin Elections Commission to consider and 18 possible legal changes for the legislature to weigh. So, and again, this is the other reason I have no problem with election audits, because even though they didn't find election fraud, they found places where they can shore up the system and make it more secure. And who should fight against that? Nobody. Nobody should fight against that. But once again, audit after audit, we find zero evidence to back up the claims of Donald J. Trump. So you know, if you listen to my show, exactly why I brought this particular story up. Chris says, are you aware of the change in public opinion over election fraud with more and more audits showing a lack of widespread voter fraud? Chris, I haven't seen that. I haven't seen any polls recently. I can do a quick search here, because this show today is called JMAC Show Prep. So if I was getting ready for a show, that would probably be a question that I would ask. So let's see if I can find anything on voter fraud beliefs in the U.S. So I'll type in polling on voter fraud in the United States, and let's see what we get. There's one in June. I don't see anything here recently. July, June, December, June. Yeah, I don't see anything popping up here. If you guys find something, let me know. I don't see any recent polling on that, but if you want to search and help me do my show prep, that would be awesome. So if you see any polling, let me know and we will pull it up. My hope is that we will at least within the mainstream see people pull back from this. I have been in a TikTok discussion. I will call discussion, but it's been completely one-sided, because this person believes that the Democrats are evil. Every time he brings up the Democrats, he calls them Marxist, socialist, communist Democrats, which if you can be all three of those things at the same time, that is amazing. That's a skill unto itself. But I asked him to send me evidence of voter fraud. He sent me conjecture, uncorroborated information. He did send me a situation in Georgia where they have an issue with whether or not some ballots, absentee ballots, should have been accepted after a particular date. And that's a legitimate issue, but it's not a fraud issue. That's a clerical issue, and that's an issue for the courts. And Trump has sent a letter to them complaining about it, but that's what courts are for. That's where you litigate those things in court. So again, that's not evidence of widespread voter fraud. And even if somehow Georgia was overturned, you still have to find widespread voter fraud or mistakes in how many other states. Did this discussion with him, did it change his opinion? Because he finally said, well, The Democrats are fighting any investigations, and that's why we can't find fraud in Arizona. And I'm like, you're basically admitting you have no evidence of fraud. And once again, you're blaming the Democrats for not allowing you to get to the evidence of fraud. So I'm just like, okay. So, I mean, with people that are that hardcore, Chris, I don't know that I'm going to change any hearts and minds. I'm interested in those people who have heard President Trump, former President Trump, make these claims, and they became highly suspicious. And I hope that what they're gaining out of this and what they're realizing is that about this is that Donald J. Trump has lied every time he has lost an election. When he lost the primary in 2016 to Ted Cruz, not the primary, but the Iowa caucuses, he blamed Ted Cruz of voter fraud. When he lost the popular vote, but still won in 2020, he said millions voted illegally. And weeks before the election even occurred in 2020, he cried voter fraud. So, cry wolf much? I think so. All right, so that was voter fraud. And Chris, I'll watch for any polling. I think that's a great question. If you're just joining us, we're trying out something new today. I'm calling this JMAX Show Prep. And we're just going through the news stories together. These are some of the stories that I flagged over the weekend. Let me know what you saw, and I can dive into it. Kevin Kent says Matt Gaetz's conversation with Jamie Raskin is a good watch. We'll have to pull that up here once we get through some of these other stories. This is a story, honestly, this is a story that had me a little bit frustrated. This is out of CBS Dallas. I don't know if this story has gone national yet, but because I was on the radio for 5 years in Dallas, Dallas News is still part of my news feed. And so you see the headline here, hold him accountable, parents outraged after teacher let student make wooden gun toy in a shop class. It's a Philadelphia story. I'm sorry. The Philadelphia School District is investigating after a parent says a teacher let his child make a gun-shaped wooden toy. That shop class project now has a teacher in the hot seat after a father demanding both answers and accountability. He says he was coloring it in, getting ready to put all the shapes on it, all the patterns on here. And there's a little clip on, the bottom. You can see there a picture of this nefarious wooden weapon. Scott said his 14-year-old son was horsing around with his brother playing with this wooden replica of a handgun. The problem? Scott doesn't let his boys play with these types of toys. If he had colored this in like he wanted to, you would have never knew what it was. You would have said he had a pistol in his hand. Really? You're looking at it. Do you think? I'm just curious. You're looking at the picture. Do you think that this 14-year-old boy is going to get this wooden replica to look like any reasonable semblance of a weapon? Per the district's, now this is the district's policy. Per the district's policy, any weapons, including simulated replica toy or lookalikes, are prohibited from all school property. I understand that. It's a pretty rough replica. Scott said of the teacher, he's an adult. He has a strong responsibility over these children. Do the same thing for him. Hold him accountable for what he did. Other parents weighed in, and many are concerned after this week's lockdown following a second shooting near the school. The latest one was just blocks away outside Lincoln High School. A teacher let him do it in school. It's not right. It's not right. It's not right. One parent told Eyewitness News. That's definitely bad, another parent said. Why would a teacher help make a gun? It's stupid. When asked what the biggest fear would be if his son's wooden gun was colored in or painted, Scott said that he would have been killed. The district says they are investigating and will not comment any further. Let's go back and look at the gun as we talk about this. Look, obviously, if it's against district policy, and I understand why it's against district policy, then the teacher should be told not to do this. The reason that this jumps off the page to me is the outrage. To me, unreasonable outrage. Demanding this teacher's job. We see a lot of this lately, and I've come on the air, and it depends on the issue, typically, where I land, whether I support the teacher or I support the district. And sometimes it's like, sometimes I just don't understand why we just can't say, hey, Mr. Teacher, you know that's against the policy. Can we not do that again? And then we go on with our lives. That's the situation that I feel that this is in. Do you feel any differently? Because that's what I feel here. This isn't, oh my gosh, this is the most unbelievable thing in the world. This is, hey, Mr. Teacher, just a reminder about the policy. Can you not do this? And then the parents go, yeah, okay, as long as you've talked to them, then fine. That's how I feel about this. So any of your thoughts, please share them. And again, if you're just joining us, this is a brand new experiment. We're calling it JMAC Show Prep. I'm going through the stories that I flagged over the weekend. I'm reading them fresh. These are first blush responses. And let me know if there's other things that you want to see. Kate says, have you heard anything from the Freedom Convention held in SLC this weekend? I heard there was a portion devoted to voter fraud stuff. Wondering what the new angle is these guys are going to chase. I haven't seen anything yet, Katie. We can add that to the list. I am watching every single claim and looking it up to see if I can see if there's any legitimacy to it. But, you know, here's one of the things that we have to remember about voter fraud is let's say today we get a screaming banner headline that new evidence has been revealed that there was widespread voter fraud. It still doesn't excuse Trump. It doesn't. Unless you can show he knew that evidence exists. Because he's not out there saying, hey, you know, we should really look into this. He's out there saying the election was stolen. Unequivocally. And so I had this person I was talking to over the weekend, they're like, there's so many anomalies. I'm like, if the president was saying there were anomalies, then I wouldn't have an issue. And again, I keep saying president, former president. I wouldn't have an issue. Okay, fine, investigate the anomalies. But what people forget is that there have been anomalies in every election since the creation of this country. An anomaly is not evidence of a stolen election. But just like with COVID, everybody became an election fraud expert in the last 2 years. Okay, what else did I have here? Should we talk about Alec Baldwin? This was in the Deseret News. How can a prop gun, I guess we'll stay on the gun topic. How can a prop gun kill? Firearms experts say only after multiple safety failures. This is, again, Deseret News. Santa Fe County Sheriff's Officer responds to the scene of a fatal accident shooting at Bonanza Creek Ranch. And again, this is the movie set. Actor Alec Baldwin fatally shoots crew member on the movie set. Why can I speak? I'm almost swearing here. I think it's because it's so early. My mouth isn't used to moving at this time. A Utah firearms expert with extensive experience working as a weapons handler on Hollywood film production said the tragic death on the set of Alec Baldwin's new movie could only have occurred as the result of basic safety measures being ignored at multiple levels. This is Clark Potion, chairman of the Utah Shooting Sports Council, said it's common practice for outside weapons and ammunition of any kind to be banned from the sets of movie productions to help ensure accidents don't occur. He also noted that the weapons specialists hired for film shoots are typically the only individuals who handle guns and ammunition on the set at all times, except when an actor is carrying or using the gun while filming is in progress. Potient said, when I'm a weapons handler on these projects, I'm the only one who handles the guns. I'm checking the weapon and ammunition before I hand the weapon to an actor. And as soon as a shot is done, I take the weapon back and check it again. And it never leaves my possession until the next scene. This happens between every take, he said, no matter what. Potient, who said he's worked with actors including Bill Pullman, Vin Rams, can't say his name, and Danny Trejo, said firearm safety briefs are required for all actors and production staff working on movies that include the use of weapons during filming, and that a live round could only make it into a prop gun an actor was using if serious mistakes were made at multiple levels beforehand. I've seen a couple of experts over the weekend. I'm sure you've probably seen many of them as well. And they've been kind of debunking what you're seeing, because of course those people who don't like Alec Baldwin, those people who are living in the world of right versus left instead of right versus wrong, are immediately blaming him. And all of the firearms experts that I've seen said this guy would have had no knowledge of how the gun was prepared. And people are like, well, he should have checked the gun beforehand. And they're like, no, he shouldn't. That's asking for trouble. It's not the actor's job to check the weapon. This is all the part of somebody like Clark Potion, who was on the set. I think this is a tragedy. And this could be, obviously, they need to have an investigation. It sounds like this movie set had all kinds of security issues or lax issues that had people concerned and upset. But once again, the knee-jerk response out there to blame an actor because you don't like him, and probably because you don't like him because of his politics, to just say, oh, he's now a murderer. Just so quick to judge. Kevin Kent says, agreed. Why were there live rounds anywhere near there? Yeah, we'll still have to continue to look at the investigation to see what's going on. Let's see, what else did I have on my list from over the weekend? Oh, this was very important. All right, so let's talk COVID here for a minute. In the last week, so those of you who are joining me this morning, some of you I don't recognize from the Tuesday and Thursday night lives that I do. So welcome. This is a brand new test. I thought I'd get up this morning and invite you into my show prep. I'm calling this JMAX show prep, and if it goes well, I'll do it every day. I'll get up just for you. But in our conversations over the last couple of weeks, I've been having long engagement with people who believe that COVID is either a front or a fake, or that ivermectin is real and that it's been downplayed because the pharmaceutical companies want to sell their own medications instead of ivermectin. And we've dealt with all of those claims. One of the things that comes up all the time when I'm having this conversation with the anti-vaxxers or the COVID deniers, I guess we can call them, is they want to throw out state-to-state comparisons. Now, typically, they do so without the most recent knowledge. And we went through this process last week. If you look at the most recent spikes, you're going to see some commonality into whether or not they're red or blue states. But I've always said during this discussion that I felt like comparing state to state or even country to country is not something that we should get too caught up in, because states are so different from each other. California is so different than Iowa, for example. I mean, when you have people living in very condensed areas compared to other things. But there are other factors involved, and this story to me was an important part of that. So the headline is, states with cold weather see uptick in COVID-19 infections and hospitalizations. This is why it's important when we compare, for example, suicide rates. I've seen people want to point to certain reasons why Utah and Colorado and some of these other places have a high suicide rate. Some of the things that they bring up are true, but There have also been multiple studies that talk about suicide rates and altitude and lack of oxygen, how it affects mental health. So I think it's very important to always keep a good perspective when we want to do these state-by-state comparisons. I think so often when they're brought up, they're being used to downplay what the overall science has found. So with COVID, they'll say, well, there's no way that can be true because look, this state did it this way and this state did it that way. And the state that did it this way, they didn't follow the COVID measures and they've had fewer deaths. So therefore, all of the science is wrong. And that's the way they present the argument. Well, that's to me is just correlation is not causation in most cases. And this story to me backs that up. So this is from ABC News. Oh, it looks like we'll need to go to the actual site. So let's switch screens here. Northern states see uptick in COVID-19 infections and hospitalizations as weather gets colder. There is a growing sense of optimism across the country with national coronavirus infection rates steadily falling. Yes, thank you. Booster shots available for many Americans and pending vaccine approval on the horizon for young children. In southern states like Florida, Mississippi, Louisiana, and Georgia, which were hit early on by the Delta surge, hospitalizations are on the decline. So this is someplace where somebody would say, see, look at these states. They're doing things differently. And so therefore the science is wrong. All the time it's climate speak, Jay. All the reality is it's climate. It's not the measures. So again, this says, but despite the good news, experts are pleading with Americans to remain alert as the highly infectious Delta variant continues to circulate. Despite vaccination rollout, several states, particularly those in colder climates, are beginning to see a rise in infections. So that will be Utah included. This is the former Food and Drug Administration Commissioner, Dr. Scott Gottlieb. He says, you're starting to see an uptick in cases in the colder parts of the country, and its people are driven indoors without masks on. So that's interesting, right? So you ask the question, why is it that in colder areas you're going to see an uptick? Is it because you become more susceptible to the virus when you're cold? No, it's because we all stopped spending our time outside and we're now inside, many not following the mask guidelines. And so what's going to happen? You're going to get an uptick in cases. He goes on to say the Delta wave has not run through the United States. I think we have a couple of months to go. Boy, if we could be out of this in a couple of months, that would be fantastic. Experts have been warning for weeks that colder areas may see an uptick in cases this winter. We may be starting to see the Delta surge in the northern parts of the country that were relatively spared over the summer, said John Brownstein, PhD and epidemiologist at Boston Children's Hospital. In recently released forecasts, the Policy Lab at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia reported that infection rates in the parts of the Midwest and mountain states remained stubbornly high, and that despite declining transmission in the Southeast, Mid-Atlantic, and in California, a period of resurgence may be on the horizon for northern regions of the country. We can take some comfort this week in the fact that national daily case counts have dropped below 100,000 and national adult and pediatric hospital censuses have declined by 50% since late summer. That's fantastic. In the Midwest, many counties throughout Minnesota and Michigan have had a significant rise in cases, while other states, Delaware, Maine, Montana, New Mexico, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Vermont, Washington, Wisconsin, West Virginia, and Wyoming are reporting high transmission in nearly every county. Coronaviruses tend to thrive in winter months and colder weather. That's from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention Director Rochelle Walensky. Right now is not the time, as cases are coming down, to become complacent because we do know colder weather is ahead of this. But I just know in conversations coming up in the next few weeks from COVID downplayers, COVID deniers, anti-vaxxers, they're going to pick one of these states and they're going to say, see, they have all these lockdowns and their rates are going up. I just know it's going to happen. So I'm trying to preempt that. Can we preempt that? So that's why that story jumped out to me. And again, if you're just joining us, I'm calling this JMAC Show Prep. I just thought I'd invite you into my show prep process. These are some of the stories that I've flagged over the weekend. I haven't read them yet. I'm reading them fresh with you. And if there are other things on your mind that you want us to look at this morning, I'll be glad to do it. We'll just kind of hang out for a little bit. Just see where it goes. All right, so let's go back to my stories that I flagged over the weekend. More about Alec Baldwin, ivermectin. Trump's network has 30 days to stop breaking the rules. His new social media network. I don't know. I cared about that over the weekend. I don't care that much now. Okay, this one's a big one. Let's go here. Should we go there to abortion? U.S. Supreme Court to consider controversial Texas abortion law. Everybody in the country should be watching this, but not because it's an abortion issue. And I really wish that the lawmakers in Texas would understand what they're doing and the far-reaching consequences of what they're doing here. Because if this is allowed to stand, and I hope and I believe the Supreme Court is going to overturn this law, not because of Roe v. Wade or anything like that, but because of how this law is written. And as we read it, I'll share with you why I believe that. So after initially deciding against intervening last month, the U.S. Supreme Court announced Friday that justices will hold oral arguments on the Texas Heartbeat Act November 1st. This headline is not actually correct. The Supreme Court did not decide against intervening. I guess what they said is we're going to leave it in place while we decide if we're going to intervene. So I don't really like the way that that's written. But for the second time, the nation's highest court didn't block the state's law, which attracted sharp criticism from abortion care providers. It's devastating and outrageous what the Supreme Court did today, said Brigitte Amiri of the ACLU. Today's order is an alarming move by the Supreme Court, which has thus far rejected every opportunity to protect Texans' constitutional rights. Ann Hagstrom Miller, president and CEO of Whole Woman's Health in Fort Worth, excuse me, said 52 days, that's how long we have been forced to act as agents of the state and deny hundreds of our patients the abortion care they need and deserve. Justice Sotomayor agreed and in an opinion accompanying the court's order said, women seeking abortion care in Texas are entitled to relief from this court now. Because of the court's failure to act today, that relief, if it comes, will be too late for many. Abortion opponents, including Jonathan Covey of Texas Values, felt differently about the court's decision. It's no surprise, he says, but we're excited that the court is leaving this law in place to continue saving lives, he said. It's going to be interesting to see what the Supreme Court says about this, but we are confident that they will uphold life and uphold saving the lives of unborn babies. Under the state's laws, doctors can't perform abortions after they detect cardiac activity. That can happen as early as 6 weeks when many women don't know they're pregnant. The law doesn't allow the state or local governments to enforce it. This is the key right here, my friends. I'm going to highlight it right here. This is the key to this law. The law doesn't allow the state or local governments to enforce that. Why is that? This is the heart of this whole thing. Instead, Only private citizens can do so by filing civil lawsuits, leaving abortion providers with potentially costly fines. This is the problem. If this is allowed to stand, then every one of your constitutional rights is at jeopardy. Every one of them. This will pave the road for gun rights to be taken care of, to be removed, for free speech to be removed, for anything to be removed. And that's why this law is incredibly dangerous. And if you are pro-life, and I understand the desire to want to protect the unborn, but if your desire to protect the unborn blinds you so much that you're willing to get a law passed that empowers any state to overcome constitutional rights with this type of policy, man, you are living in a dangerous world. Because here's what they're saying. They're saying, we know that we don't have the right to enforce this, but we'll just hand it over to the citizens and let them enforce that. So why can't California now come along, if this is allowed to stand, and say, we're not going to punish the gun owner. We're not going to punish people who want their Second Amendment, but we're going to let our citizens do it. And you might be saying to me, well, Jay, the abortion is not a constitutional right, but gun control or gun rights is a constitutional right. I'm sorry, that's not accurate. It's not accurate. As much as I disagree with the Roe v. Wade decision, as long as it is in play, it is part of the Constitution. This is something that people miss or don't understand. The minute the Supreme Court makes a ruling, that ruling is now enshrined in the Constitution. It has as much force as anything written directly in the Constitution. This is the power of the Supreme Court. They are deciding what the Constitution says, and they are adding to it with every ruling. So when somebody says, you broke my constitutional right to be Mirandized by the police, well, the Miranda warning is not in the Constitution anywhere. So how can you say you broke my constitutional rights is not in the Constitution? Easy. The Supreme Court added Miranda rights to the Constitution. So that is now a constitutional right. You must be Mirandized when you are arrested. And so if a state came along and said, well, we want to change that somehow by getting citizens involved, are you going to let that stand? This is dangerous. You cannot allow this type of law to go forward. And it's another case where I see conservatives getting lost. My fellow conservatives getting lost in their own beliefs. Because on the one hand, being so pro-Constitution, but on the other hand, being so wanting that something to go through that they bypass the Constitution. It's like with social media companies who have rights. They're businesses. They have rights. And they can decide what product sits on their shelves. And we hear prominent conservatives saying they need to be censored or forced. But those same conservatives will come out and say that a baker has every right to refuse service to a gay couple. There's an incredible lack of consistency here. And it's dangerous when you cry Constitution, when it fits your belief system, and when you ignore Constitution when it doesn't fit what you're after. We have to be careful what we ask for here. You think about it. The Republicans of Texas could be paving the way and blazing the path to the destruction of gun rights in this country. And they can't see it. They can't see it. Kate says, I love the potential of a state with individual citizens, law enforcement, and stand your ground rights. A good kind of crazy anarchy in the making. I don't know if it's good, crazy anarchy. My friends, you all better hope that the Supreme Court sees this for what it is. Because what it is a way to overcome a Supreme Court ruling. It will blow my mind if the Supreme Court allows this. Because the court will literally be saying, you can overcome any of our rulings simply by allowing private citizens to enforce instead of governments to enforce. Think about that for a minute. That is so dangerous to the entire document and to the power of the Supreme Court. If they let this go through, wow. Wow. This is Imrick on YouTube. Says Texas just got constitutional carry. We got it here in Utah, too. I don't have a problem with constitutional carry. So I'm not sure what the point is there. You could easily, for example, even in a state where you had constitutional carry, if this law is allowed to go forward, then a state could easily decide, well, you can constitutionally carry, but we're going to allow our private citizens to sue you for $10,000 if they find out that you're carrying. That's what this is. Read that. The law doesn't allow the state or local governments to enforce it. Instead, only private citizens can do so by filing civil lawsuits, which are now allowed. And there's a reward of $10,000 if they file a successful lawsuit. This is some of the most dangerous legislation I have ever seen to our rights. We cannot get so blinded that we allow this to be move forward. It's just wrong. Please fight against this. Emmerich says, well, you could always sue for pretty much any reason. The fact that you can file a lawsuit, it does not mean anything. You can file a lawsuit, but that doesn't mean a judge is going to hear it. That doesn't mean that you have cause. This law, if you read it, enshrines the ability for judges to take up the case and to provide a bounty or a payment when you have a successful law. Think about that. When you have a successful law case, this isn't just saying you can sue somebody. This is saying if you successfully sue somebody, you're going to get paid 10 grand. So explaining this away is you can sue anybody. Go ahead right now. Go ahead in your state, wherever you're at. Try and sue somebody for having an abortion. Go ahead. Try it. Tell me if you can do that anywhere but in the state of Texas. Try it. Let me see how that lawsuit goes. Try and sue somebody right now in any state for carrying a firearm. Let me know how that goes. And this is one of the reasons why I've been fighting against this mentality for a long time before this abortion bill came out. And I was fighting it in Texas. See, in Texas, they have red light cameras. I don't know if they still do, but they did. And people are like, hey, they make a lot of money. They save lives. And I'm like, I don't care. Because they don't give you the right to challenge your accuser. And if challenged, they would be ruled unconstitutional. That's the belief anyway. So what did the state of Texas do? And what does any state that has red light cameras, what do they do? They make it a civil offense, not a criminal offense. So it affects your credit when you run a red light, but it doesn't affect... This is them skirting the constitutionality of the law by making it civil. And so every single year that I was on the air in Dallas, I fought that idea. That if you don't like the constitutional regulation of something, just make it civil and then you can do whatever the heck you want. This is a dangerous road. And it is a clearly paved road to get rid of gun rights. I've already seen it. Haven't you seen it? Maybe you don't watch the networks that I do, but I watch all the networks. I've already seen pundits going, okay, all right, we're ready to do this for gun control. We're ready. Bring it on. Let's see. Imrick says, isn't the law designed for the father of the child to have rights? That's a different law as far as I know, Imrick. Tyrone Jackson on YouTube, in a free society, the state does not administer the affairs of men. It administers justice among men who conduct their own affairs. Walter Lippmann. Well, this is, you know, we have to have, and we've talked about this in great detail with COVID, states have, we are not a truly free society. We have never been a truly free society. Hopefully we never will be a truly free society. States have the right to pass laws to protect their citizens. That's what the 10th Amendment does. And so that's why they can tell you that driving is a privilege instead of a right. They're the ones who decided that. The states decided that. That's not in the Constitution. That's not in the Bible. That's decided by states. They looked at driving. They said, we're going to make that a privilege, not a right. And they've done that with so many things. So we are not a truly free society. David joining us. David's normally with us at night on my lives on Tuesday and Thursday night. He says, I'm wondering how the Supreme Court, hang on. I'm wondering how the Supreme Court can get another look at Roe v. Wade case that is legitimate, because obviously there are rulings that have been revisited and overturned like Dred Scott. Well, in my opinion, if you want the Supreme Court to rule on a Roe v. Wade case, then you need to challenge a case and a law at a state level and move it up the courts. That is similar to the Roe v. Wade ruling. You don't do all of this craziness that actually puts other rights at risk, because that's dangerous to all of our rights. Imrick says, you were correct on the red lights, and the red light cameras are now not legal in Texas. Thank you for the update. And Imrick says, aren't they already suing gun manufacturers for people them using illegally? No, it's, you can't sue gun manufacturers right now. That's one of the big complaints from the left. But again, suing a gun manufacturer when you yourself has experienced a loss, at least in that case, you have a direct relation to what happened, okay? So, and I understand your point, Imrick. Isn't this case in Texas about the father being able to sue the mother because he doesn't want the mother to have an abortion? That's not what this is. And this is not about somebody suing a manufacturer because they experienced some wrong as a result of their products. That's not what this is. This is if you are a regular old citizen of Texas and you're wandering down the street and you see somebody that you've never met come out of an abortion clinic, you can find out their name and you can sue them for having an abortion. When that case has nothing to do with you, you have no involvement whatsoever, you can sue them. You can sue them without any relation to them. The only thing you need is knowledge that they got an abortion. You're in a conversation, you're in a restaurant, and you overhear people at the next table. A woman says, yeah, I just got an abortion. You can sue her. That's what this does. That's how crazy this is. And that's why it opens the door to all kinds of madness based upon the different states. we cannot allow legislation to occur that simply bypasses constitutionality. So again, I would be blown away if the courts allow this to happen. So there you go. That's that story. All right, let's continue to move forward. Let's see if there was anything else here on my show prep list here. Imrick says, and I'm agreeing with the law. However, I'm not agreeing with the law. However, I think the father should have the right. Yeah, I'm absolutely in agreement with you on that. Totally good. Let's see if there's any other real pressing things out of the news over the weekend. You can see what I see here. FCC's looking at spam text. The world is facing a shortage of blue paint. All right. This one jumped into my newsfeed. I thought it was interesting. Even paint manufacturers are getting hit by the global supply chain chaos. There is now apparently a shortage of blue paint, or rather the chemicals used to make certain shades of the color. This is from Yahoo News. To make paint, you would need between 50 and 60 ingredients. A spokesperson from Dutch paint maker AkzoNobel explained in a statement to The Insider. So if you are looking to paint blue, maybe you need to wait a little bit. Can I just ask, is that Biden's fault? I'm just curious, is that Biden's fault? Because everybody's blamed Biden for the inflation and the supply chain issues, as if somehow Trump wouldn't have those issues. Should we add this and the gas prices? Should we add this? Everybody add this to the list. It's just remarkable to me the credit that we give a president for an economy they have nothing to do with, or on either way. We have been convinced, we've been sold this bill of goods that whoever's in the White House, somehow they have like this lever. They have an economy lever in their office. Yes, they can have an impact on the economy, but usually it takes years for whatever they do to have an impact. So that I just find that to be funny. All right, so that was my news feed. That was my over the weekend. And here's what I do, just so you know. I have all my news stories set up, or all of my feeds, and I just go through them. This is a program that I use. It's called Feedly. And I just sit here and I click the J button and I go, yes, I'm interested in that, or no, I'm not interested. So Apple AirPods, no. Unite the Right rallies planners accused in civil trial. No. Sheriff, U.S. soldier killed grandfather, great-grandfather. How one student journeyed from Columbia to SLCC. 8 things we learned from the Facebook papers. That's interesting. All right. 8 things we learned from the Facebook papers. I don't want to go to the website. Are they all right here? All right. Here we go. A massive new document release shows chaos and confusion inside the world's most powerful social network. For months, Facebook has been shaken by a steady leak of documents from whistleblower Francis, I'm so bad with names, Hagen, beginning in the Wall Street Journal, but spreading to government officials and nearly any outlet with an interest in the company. Now those documents are going much more public, giving us the most sweeping look at the operations of Facebook anyone not directly involved with the company has ever had. The documents stem from disclosures made to the SEC and provided to Congress. Let's see what the 8 things are. Okay, number 1. Facebook was caught off guard by vaccine misinformation and comments. Facebook has taken a lot of criticism for its handling of COVID misinformation, including from President Biden, who accused the platform of killing people by letting anti-vax sentiment run amok. But the leaks show just how chaotic the effort was inside the company. To me, the fact that this created chaos in a company, every social media company is dealing with this. How could any social media company know that, you know, you would suddenly have a pandemic, you would suddenly have all of these anti-vaxxers, or you would suddenly have election fraud claims. So everybody becomes an election fraud expert. Everyone willingly passes around information they haven't vetted. I mean, how could anybody be ready for that? How could you decide? So that's not a surprise to me. Well, this is a long article. Apple threatened to ban Facebook over online slave markets. Facebook scrambled to address human trafficking content after Apple threatened to kick its apps off the iOS App Store. The report, referenced briefly by the Wall Street Journal's Facebook Files reporting, indicates that Apple threatened to pull Facebook and Instagram. Apple had been tipped off by a BBC News Arabic report that found domestic workers being sold via Instagram and other apps where sellers encouraged buyers to mistreat the workers by doing things such as confiscating their passports. The policy was highly likely leading to exploitation of domestic servants. Okay. Here's another point. The civic integrity team was often directly blocked by Zuckerberg. You knew Zuckerberg kind of gets up in front of Congress and acts like, I don't know. One of the most alarming incidents uncovered by the papers was that Mark Zuckerberg personally intervened to ensure Facebook would comply with a repressive law instituted in Vietnam, agreeing to moderate more aggressively against anti-state content on the platform. The anecdote leads the Washington Post report on the papers and plays into a much more troubling dynamic described by Hagan before Congress. Facebook's integrity team had lots of ideas for how to make Facebook less harmful, but they were usually overruled, sometimes by Zuckerberg himself. The next point, Facebook used a German anti-vaccine movement as a test case for more aggressive moderation. All right. Another document details Facebook's so-called, in which the company's moderators tested out a more aggressive moderation approach on a German conspiracy movement. Facebook's dangerous content team. I would really like to be on the dangerous content team. That sounds fun. Facebook's dangerous content team was already developing a new classification, a harmful topic community, and the growing Quarterdunken, as they call it, was chosen as an experiment on how the classification would work in practice. As Facebook employees write in the document, this could be a case study to inform how we tackle these problems in the future. Oh, and by the way, what I'll do here, let me scroll up to the top, is I need to flag these. If you look at the description of this stream, you will be able to find all of the links that I'm looking for, as long as I remember to click this star. All right? So I've clicked that star, and that story is now available in that link. Let's go back. Was there anything else to learn? Facebook's January 6th response was shaped by glitches and delays. Okay. Facebook was trying to rebalance its newsfeed for civic health. Anything else? Why likes were never hidden on Facebook and Instagram? I don't really care about that. Facebook civic groups policy stumbled over a simple design flaw. Just trying to see if there's anything else screaming banner there. I didn't really see anything, did you? Let's go back. All right, so now we go back through the news feed. I'm Rick. I've been calling you Imrick. I'm sorry. I'm guessing you're Imrick because you're because of your picture there. He says, I'll find you a good topic on Bing News. And then he says, dang, slow news day. Here's the only topic worth discussing. Prince's home state of Minnesota to lobby Congress to honor late pop star with medal. Yeah, I'm probably not going there. Let's see what I can find here. Microsoft says SolarWind hackers may have breached 14 more companies. All right. That's something to watch out for. Something that I love now is that Chrome and Safari and iOS and Apple, I'm not sure if it's happening in Windows, but I hope it is. You can tell me that when I go to use a password now, it's telling me whether or not that password has been compromised and found on these links. I think that's pretty amazing. Ballet West brings the undead to life in Dracula. Uh-oh, Zach Wilson injures knee in New York Jets loss to the Patriots. Zach Wilson has sprained posterior ligament in his right knee and will be sidelined at least 2 weeks. We're Zach Wilson fans. We're big BYU fans, so we're cheering for Zach, but there's not a lot of hope for him with that offensive line. They have not been able to protect him very well. Strong winds to hit northern Utah on Monday. Oh, I've got some trash outside I gotta take care of. This story's about Halo. No. Between 1856 and 1889, a mysterious leather-clad man walked the roads of Connecticut and New York. Should we read it? Hey, it's show prep. I'm trying to ask myself what I read this if I was doing my normal show prep. No, this is a podcast. So I'll tell you what I'll do is I'll mark it in my JMAC show links. If you're interested, there it is. But other than that, I'm going to move on. This is about Dune. You can see here there's a lot of stories in my newsfeed that I just click past. Whoa, I don't want to click past too fast here. Twitter is working on blockchain-linked collectibles tab. Oh, this reminds me about something. I keep having this conversation with people about voter fraud and how they want to get rid of mail-in ballots. And I keep asking them to show me where mail-in ballots have been abused. And they're like, it's just not a safe, secure system. It's not whatever. I'm a big fan of mail-in ballots, but I also want them to be improved security-wise. And I think we can use the blockchain to do it. So here's my big idea, okay? Sorry, I was distracted by the like on the screen. Be sure to like and subscribe. And if you are just joining us, this is my show prep. I just thought I'd invite you into the process and see what you think. Here's my idea. You get your mail-in ballot, but then you also have to go online or into an app, and you have to do some type of two-step verification that would involve information that you gave when you registered to vote, and you would get some type of code. That code could come from the blockchain or wherever else, and you would have to not just sign the ballot, but enter in that one-time code. And then when that ballot goes in, that code is compared to the voter file. What do you think? I don't want online voting. To me, that scares me to death. But maybe that's why people don't want mail-in ballots, right? Maybe we could have the best of both worlds. Let me know what you think. Twitter, blockchain, Netflix, third-party apps. You can see I go through a lot of stories here. If you see one that you want to talk about, just stop me. Utah is half of the first same-sex pair on Dancing with the Stars. Utah is half. M1 and M1. I have a lot of tech stories here. Sorry. How many? I don't know if I'm going to go through all of these with you today. There's 101 left. Do you want to see how quickly I go through 101 stories? This is why I'm able to keep track on things. So this is a GoPro story. No. Apple AirPods review. No. Endangered whale population sinks close to a 20-year low. This would be something that I might read later on. So I'll flag that as hold. Oh, you can't see it. Sorry. Let's go back. Blue Origin unveils plans for future commercial space station called Orbital Relief. Orbital Reef. Sorry. I'm having a problem lately where I am reading things too quickly and my mind is filling in the blanks. So yesterday I was driving by a subway and I thought the sign said, "Are you someone? We're hiring." And I told my wife, I'm like, look, they just want someone. That's hilarious. And she looked at it again and she said, it says, "Are you awesome? We're hiring." I think it would have been better. "Are you someone? Please, anyone? We're hiring." Let's see here. I'm Rick says, J-Mac, the problem with your mail-in ballot idea is that you are trying to make the ballot safer and lower the fraud. This is not the goal of a certain party. I know. But that party will tell you they want to make elections secure. That's the reason why they want all these investigations, because we all want a free and fair election. Well, I believe if you want a free and fair election, you shouldn't claim election fraud until you have evidence, which is crazy. I know. Let's see if there's anything else. Tesla doesn't want anyone to see its response to the autopilot investigation. Oh, I'll probably go back and flag that one. Maybe for my lives. If you're just joining me here in the morning, I do go live every Tuesday and Thursday night at 9:30 p.m. Yeah, I know. It looks like, you know, I get an idea here when I'm going through the stories. If it's mostly tech stories, then I will have to agree with you. I'm Rick. I don't see a lot of stories. This one is interesting. The most vaccinated place in America is Puerto Rico. The Caribbean U.S. territory of Puerto Rico has outpaced wealthy New York, England states to become the most vaccinated place in America. 73% of its 3.8 3 million residents are fully protected. The island has the highest rate of total vaccine doses administered. So this is a story that I would flag under COVID. That's where I keep all my COVID research. So you can see I just have a system here to go through everything. More on the Facebook papers. Drought takes personal toll as Utah farmers lose money. I'm loving all this moisture in Utah. Free haircuts give renewing feeling to people experiencing homelessness. That's cool. Save over $50 on this chair. Project recreate entirely of planet Earth in Minecraft. So you get a lot of tech stories. I'm not seeing anything else here. It is a little bit of a slow news day. We did have somebody, if I go back through the comments, who was it was asking about Biden and Taiwan? I'll have to look at that story. Some of these stories I don't want to knee-jerk respond to just right off of the bat. So I'll look at some of those other stories. But that's it. I think that's going to be it, at least as we start the day. My thought process is, let me know if you enjoyed this. My thought process is to get up in the morning, come in here into the studio, and share with you my show prep. And we'll just go through the stories that I flagged between now and tomorrow morning. We'll go through any stories that you want to talk about. And we'll go through my newsfeed and see if there's anything interesting. So let's just see how this goes. And if you miss it, it will be up on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and hopefully tomorrow, if I get the kinks worked out, it will also be available live via Podbean, which is where my podcast gets aired as well. So that's the thought process. With that, I don't really have anything else going on. Kate says, how about the Davis School District racism report? Let's take a look here. Davis School District racism report. How did I miss this? It's funny how something slipped through the cracks. Oh no, that's a Tribune article. Is it going to make me pay? No, it looks like it's going to let me through. So here we go. This is Salt Lake Tribune. Students of color in Davis School District say they were subjected to name-calling and threats that were ignored by administrators. Davis School District has intentionally ignored serious and widespread racial harassment in its school for years, failing to respond to hundreds of reports from Black students after they have been called slaves, the N-word, and heard threats that they would be lynched, according to a jarring report from the U.S. Department of Justice. That refusal to intervene ultimately created an atmosphere that was so oppressive that some kids of color feared coming to class, the report said. Many stopped reporting acts of discrimination, which were often witnessed by teachers who didn't step in, they said. A few told justice investigators they felt the district was condoning the way they were treated by taking no action. As a consequence of this dismissive attitude to serious racial harassment, a district-wide racially hostile environment went unabated. The department concluded in the report released Thursday, and the district left students of color vulnerable to continued abuse. The findings from the Justice Department come after 2 years of investigation of the predominantly white Northern Utah school district. So the first thing is I can hear people saying that this is Biden's Justice Department. And so if you have knee-jerked to party here, I would ask you, are you worried about right or left or right versus wrong? Because this started 2 years ago. And then here's the entire report, if you want to read that. And let's see, the department does not note what prompted its audit, but in May 2019, 2 months earlier, Davis School District drew national attention when the family of a biracial boy who went to school there filed a lawsuit describing how the boy was purposefully shut in the doors of a school bus by the driver and left dangerously dangling outside as he drove forward. The report specifically mentions that incident, saying that it was seriously mishandled by the district, which focused on protecting certain employees from discipline rather than worrying about the boy being endangered. The district later acknowledged it had received previous complaints about the bus driver's discriminatory behavior that were brushed aside. The district ultimately settled that civil rights case, paying the family $62,000 and acknowledging the racial assault. Davis School District also signed a settlement last month with the Department of Justice in connection with the broader investigation into how it mistreats students of color. The details of that agreement, publicly released for the first time along with the 11-page report Thursday, show how the district will be required to address the systemic problems moving forward. The district must create an equity department to handle complaints of racial discrimination. It will need to hire a director for that who must be approved by the federal government. Davis is also required to train all staff on how to identify, investigate, and respond to complaints of harassment. And it will educate students and parents, too, on how to prevent discrimination. I don't have any direct knowledge, obviously, with the Davis School District or this story. I have no reason to discount what the Department of Justice has found. I can tell you, I have direct knowledge of one school district where I know for a fact that they are required to put together a report that shows every complaint and how those complaints were handled, and not just racial complaints. These are bullying complaints, other issues, complaints about teachers. They have to have a system to address and deal with these complaints. And if you're just pushing them under the rug, then you're doing a disservice to these students, obviously. That should be the first concern. But you are then also creating a policy of acceptance, and you're making it okay. So, again, I don't know if anyone here is from Davis County, if you can speak to that directly. But to me, I think that this should be taken very seriously. And I can tell you from my direct knowledge that other districts, I can't speak for every district, they have a pretty aggressive policy to avoid this very kind of report. Thank you, Kate, for bringing that up. For some reason, I'll bet it'll make it in my feed today, or I just skipped over it, because you can see sometimes I go through my feed a little bit too fast. Cat videos, please. All right, any other stories that you wanted me to go through? Let me know if you liked JMAC Show Prep. Let me know if you want to join me on a regular basis to do this. I thought it was interesting. How many stories did we not get to? 61. See, we got through 40 stories pretty quickly there. Anyway, thank you for joining me. Be sure to go to jmacfarland.com and join the JMAC Club. There's great perks in membership, and that'll also help support this podcast. Join me on Tuesday and Thursday nights at 9:30 p.m. live, where we get into some very good long discussions sometimes about the issues of the day. And I think I'm going to try this again tomorrow, and we'll see how it goes. I'm not a morning person, but for you guys, I'm willing. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for your great comments, and I hope y'all have a wonderful day. We'll try J-Mac Show Prep again tomorrow. And this is where music is supposed to be playing, but because I changed up my systems again, you're not hearing music. You're still hearing me talk. Kathy says, I missed most of it, but liked what I did.